Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, and compassion and empowerment. Prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us today, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. And as we have you here, we are excited to share with you, we are dealing with Dr. Charles Spurgeon's Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. Our first book that we're examining is The Power of Prayer. And as we go through what we've been dealing with in the first book, as we've been talking about the first part, which is the power in prayer, or the guarantee to succeed that we have when we pray. And then we want to talk about the raven's cry. And after we talk about the raven's cry, we talk about order and argument and prayer. And then tonight we're talking about what it's like or means to plead in prayer, how we plead in prayer. We're so excited to hear what God has for us, how we plead in prayer. So that's what we're focusing on tonight. So as we come together, I ask that you join me in prayer. After prayer, we will have a reading of the scripture, and I'm not sure who's on the line tonight. Looks like I see Margaret, the 615. Who's that? It looks like, and then we have, who's that? Who's 615? Well, we're glad you're here, whoever that is. It might be Lori.
It's Lori.
Is that Lori? Yeah, Lori. Thank you for being there, sis. Just listen in. I know you're driving. And then we've got Sylvia. We've got Bishop Michael. And we've got Jerry. I think I heard Jerry. But we've got a lot of people on the line tonight. So what I'm going to ask is that Bishop Michael is in a meeting tonight, so he's going to be in and out. So we, you know, need the rest of you to speak up and keep the flow of the dialogue is really important. And so, Margaret, if you will read Psalm 75 when we come to it. And I don't know, Bishop, if you will be able to lead us in prayer or anything, depending on what's happening with you. If not, I will do it. And then, Sylvia, if you would just stay there and be as beautiful a sister as you are, that'd be great. Thought I was going to be by myself tonight, y'all. Didn't know for sure. But I'm so grateful that everybody's showing up, and what we need to do is start with prayer. Amen. God, we come before you. We give you honor, glory, and praise, and we celebrate you because you have taken in your children, and you are blessing us as we sit at your feet. Lord, you know, Jesus said when he was talking about Mary and Martha that Mary had chosen the better thing to sit at your feet, and that's what we're doing tonight. We are sitting at your feet, and we are looking for you to give us revelation of your word. And as we go forth tonight, we ask that you lead, guide, and direct us to your truth. As we start, we will start a song, and the song that we'll listen to tonight is Open My Heart by Yolanda Adams. We thank you, God, just for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Talk to me. It's just me and you. I feel so lost, 'cause I don't know what to do. Now what if I choose the wrong thing to do? I'm so afraid, afraid of disappointing you. So I need to talk to you and ask you for your guidance, especially today when my life is so cloudy. Guide me until I'm sure I
But I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay the word of the Lord for the people of God.
Amen. Amen. Bishop Michael, you where you can do anything, or you tied up? So I'm assuming he's tied up. Are you tied up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's go to the Lord and intercessory prayer. So Bishop is seeing his parents tonight. So who prayer needs tonight that we need to lift up? We're lifting for ourselves and family and friends and loved ones. Who do we need to lift up in prayer tonight?
This is Margaret, and I wanted to ask for prayer for my cousin Monica, who's closing on a house on this Friday. And she's handicapped, and I'm planning to be with her, but I want to pray for the Lord to protect her rights and interests in the process, because she gets bullied sometimes.
Okay.
She has difficulty walking.
Can we continue to lift up your daughter?
And yes, my daughter Sophia, her family, her husband, and her
right.
two little boys. And also
Sophia,
I'd like to
and
ask
family.
For,
okay.
Yeah, and I'd like to ask for prayer for the unbelievers in my family. It's
okay.
something I keep praying about, so I just pray that the Lord would reach out again.
Yes. I also would like
to. Not believing.
Also, I heard President Biden mention Armageddon, saying that we are very close to that more than we've ever been. And so I would like to pray for our country.
Yeah.
And the world.
Yeah.
And with that, unbelievers. Because, you know, we have been trying to spend our time at Love Connection sharing why people need to get ready and that the time is coming near. And we're hearing people talk about it now. It's not just something that's not real, but people are using the language and they're discussing it as such. There was even an article on what they called the rapture trauma. Making
mm-hmm.
people afraid of the rapture. So, are you there, Bishop? Mm-hmm. Are you in between cases?
Yeah.
Family?
I'm in between
okay,
families, and my thing is these parents.
So we pray
without
for the parents.
Sharing.
Okay.
Yeah, the parents, okay. please.
Yep. Okay,
mm-hmm.
we got them lifted up. Anybody else have prayer requests? I like to pray for my family and my job. And finances. Anyone else? Is there parents or loved ones or friends or that you know? Oh, the veterans. I need to lift up the veterans as well. Does anyone have
Dr.
a closing?
Dr. Susie, I had one
yeah.
other prayer request for a dear friend named Stacy, who has recurrent breast cancer, and she's undergoing chemo again, and she's struggling with it. Just prayers for her strength and comfort.
Okay, so, and we're going to pray for Eric and Shirley, but let's lift them up.
Yeah.
Eric, Shirley, and Joan. Anybody else you all think of, Eric, share? I don't see. Jerry's on the line. Anybody else
mm-hmm.
we need to lift up? Jerry, did you have anybody that you know in your community that needs lifting up?
This is Jerry from Maine. Just my family and friends all and all the veterans here in the home that I'm in.
Okay. All right. Is there anyone else? I want to lift up my friend's sale of her home, that it would go without any type of hiccup, smooth transition as well. And I can't think of anything else. My neighbor just died, Billy, and I would like to lift up prayer for his family. And Billy used to sit out on the porch and watch everybody's house so nobody could come in the community and do anything because he was looking out. And he was a veteran, and he passed. And so we're asking prayer for his family and friends. All right, let's go before the Lord if there are no other concerns. God, we come before you, and, Lord, you hear us lift up Billy and his family. You hear us lift up Monica, her cousin, and the closing on her house. Lord, we're asking that you would protect her and put a hedge of protection around her, not just now, but either she gets the house and moves in the house such that it can be something that gives her pleasure and that is not challenging but gives her joy. We ask prayer for Sophia and the family. We lift up all unbelievers everywhere. We lift up the unbelievers in Margaret's family and unbelievers everywhere. We know that the time is nigh. We know that the rapture is to be soon. We hear people talking about the last days and Armageddon and the battles that are coming. And so, Lord, we're just asking that people get ready because we know that it's coming. And so we just ask right now that you would have the Holy Spirit touch the hearts of those who are interested in having a relationship with you, Lord, and that they would hear the knock that's on the door, that they would ask, seek, and knock so that, Lord, they could have a relationship with you and be saved and not be a part of eternal damnation. So we ask a special blessing as well for my family. I ask for jobs, my job to be blessed. I ask for finances empowered and strengthened. Ask, oh God, blessings for the veteran. And then, Lord, we ask in her recurrent breast cancer, Lord, you are able to be all things. And we know you as Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals. And so we call on you by your name as healer and ask that you visit Stacy and bless her, that you would give her abundant grace and mercy, and that you would heal her body in the matchless name of Jesus. Lord, we also ask for Eric Shirley and Joan, wherever they may be, that you would bless them. And Mateo, we haven't heard. Mateo took a new job, and we're asking that you would bless him as he has not been able to join us either. So wherever Eric and Shirley are, wherever Joan is, however they're doing, we lift up Brian as well, that they would do well and that they would be well and they would continue to seek your face wherever they are. And then, Lord, Jerry's family, we're asking for blessings for them. We ask blessings for Lori and her family. We ask blessings for Jerry and his family. We ask blessings, oh God, for all the veterans in his home and the struggles, wherever they may be having, that you would touch them. Bless the CNAs and the nurses and the doctors who are gathered around them trying to give them support and aid. And then, Lord, you know the issue with my friend and the sale of her own home. We ask that you would bless that there would be no challenges, oh God, but that it would be a smooth transition from one owner to the other, that you would make, Lord, it seem like a piece of cake, that there are no problems because you know the enemy, Lord, in all these situations. The enemy wants to be busy. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But you, oh God, are stronger. Oh, merciful one, we ask that you would be with us, that you would guide us, that you would direct us. Lord, we are pleading for you, for the blood of Jesus to intercede on our behalf along with us And as we plead, oh God, we just know that our God, our Father, our Mother, our Parent is looking over us and protecting us. That you said, Lord, that you would never leave us nor forsake us. So we stand in faith as we ask, seek, and not having faith, hope, and believing because you said, oh God, and because you said it is so. We stand on the authority of the matchless name of Jesus as we lift this prayer and we believe according to your word. Thank you, God, and we claim the victory right now in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let us all say amen.
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 Amen. So as we have gathered, let's do a roll call to make sure who we have on the line. Who do we have on the line tonight?
Yeah, Bishop Michael in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
You have Margaret in Brooksville, Florida.
Jerry in Maine.
Amen, amen. And we have Laura and we have Sylvia there listening in. Amen. So we are so grateful tonight that we have a group of people who are here to talk, to seek the Lord about prayer. And so to catch everybody up on what we've been talking about, we're going to talk about pleading ultimately tonight, but I want to go back just a little bit, and I want to talk about how when we come before the Lord in prayer, we are guaranteed to succeed because we stand on the authority of Jesus Christ. When he says, I say unto you, that is Christ the Lord who is speaking with the power of the Omnipotent One, the Creator of the universe, who says, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. For it was Christ who made all things. And so that's what we stand on, ask, seeking, and knock. And we know that faith acts, hope seeks, and love knocks. And when we do that, the door will be open. And we stand not only on his authority, but his promise. Because we know with his promise, the door will be open to us. And so we praise him because of his testimony. He declared in his word that prayer is successful. He said, you have not. Come on, y'all, because you ask not. Or you ask amiss. And because we know the word says in James 4, 2 through 3, that is all we have to do is to ask. And that as a child of God and who is in right standing with the Lord, that is sin free, we can ask and receive. Everyone, he says, that asks, receive it. And so we talked then about the raven's cry. The scripture said, it talked about the raven. It said, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have stone house nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? So when we understand that we have a relationship with God, where God provides for us, just like God provides for the old ravens and the young ravens when they cry out. When they cry, and what the example he's using of the animals, if they cry out, what? How much more do we expect God to respond to us when we, come on, somebody. Make our wants known. Are we not more important to our Lord? We're made just a little bit lower than the angels. So he encourages us to cry out with passion. Cry out to the cross. Hold on to the cross. Vow never to leave its shadow until we find the blessings that we seek. Standing on our knees, pleading and trusting, because the Lord asked us to be like Queen Esther, who says, I will go unto the king. And if I perish, come on, y'all, I perish. Or in case of Jacob and Peniel, when he said, I will go, when he was wrestling with the angel, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. And that was in Genesis 32:26. We have to understand What more will our God do when we are made in God's image? God loves us. God says he'll provide for us. God is never going to leave us or forsake us. And we know that the blood of Jesus does what? It cleanses us from our sin. Amen? And so we are commanded to cry out. We're invited to cry out because he says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, what happens? They shall be what? Saved.
Amen.
If we call on the name of the Lord, as it says in Acts 2:21, we shall be saved. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and you shall glorify me. So if we call on God, we can be just and to remember that he is going to answer. He will deliver. Because what did he tell us? He said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believes will be saved. So when we pray, we ask, we believe. So we know if God is going to do what we ask through salvation, when we are seeking tenderly, passionately, he's going to answer with our other requests. The Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. So there's no limitation, right? Because it's through the work of grace that God is merciful to us as sinners, according to Luke 18:13. The Holy Spirit is crying out to us and through us as we plead, So getting to today's passage where it says, but I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me. O God, thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. Psalm 75. How does that sound to y'all? What does he sound like he's whenever you get ready to come? Or does he sound like, Lord, I need you now? Smoky Norfolk, I need you now. I need you now, Lord. What does it sound like to you? What do you hear?
He's begging.
Yes, he's begging. Remember, in order on the Bible study, we need to have a consistent communication, Jerry and all you guys, get involved. So he's begging. But why? What do you think? I mean, have you ever been in this position before where you needed to plead with God? Anybody?
Dr. Susie, this is Bishop Michael. I hear a sense of urgency, you know,
absolutely,
right now. Please don't tarry, you know. And, there's been times we have prayed, and it's seemingly like, you know, there's a sense of desperation. And you know, that praise and worship song that says, I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. I'm hungry for you. I thirst for you. As the deer thirsts
after the water.
So pants my soul after you, O Lord. The urgency, there's modern day teachings that tell us, so we shouldn't be, you know, we should be at ease and everything. But like Spurgeon said, you know, if you want to learn great art, you go to a great painter. You go to a great artist. David had some of the most heartfelt prayers to the Lord.
Prayers.
And that's that. And we can use that as our model. I feel that it's okay to be having a sense of urgency before the Almighty God. Let him know that we are needy.
But it's not just okay. I think he's inviting us to be there. He's encouraging us. You don't have to go, well, my house is burning down, so now I need to pray with urgency. That's not what he's saying. He's saying it's a posture of the need. When we recognize who we are and the sin that's a part of who we are, when we understand our place, when we can see like Isaiah saw the train of the Lord and he was high and lifted up and Isaiah felt like he was insignificant. When we can see the passion and the need of calling on the Most High God, the creator of the universe, the one who gave Jesus the deeds. When we understand,
yeah,
we are lowly and humble and cry out, Lord, help, because we can't do it.
Amen.
We cannot in our sinfulness do it on our own. And that's the thing I think he's trying to get us to see. He's trying to get us to understand the urgency is because he says we're poor and needy. Ain't that the first thing? Poor,
yes, ma'am,
and needy. Yeah. And so some of us don't get that. Some of us have been in these beautiful homes and got boats and Mercedes Benz and cars and Jags, and we walk around and we, wait a minute. Then go get our nails done, and we can go buy what we want, and have had those moments where, you know, we got it all. We got guns and ammunition, and we got all these things. But he's trying to tell us something. We can't buy what he what we need from him. Come on, somebody.
Well, this is Margaret. It seems that Spurgeon is telling us that we have to confess. It's absolutely necessary for the sinner to confess his sin when he seeks his Savior, and his faith will not grow unless he confesses and reveals it to God, lays himself bare.
Absolutely.
And
but
gets real
I don't
with
wanna...
God.
That's the piece. We can see confession easily, Margaret, because we use it in our prayer. But
mm-hmm.
I think the piece I was trying to focus on is the posture, that we can't get what we want from the Lord because we can't go buy it like we do other things, that we think we have the money to buy and go and get a house and a car and all those other things. We can't buy that from... We can't buy God to heal us and forgive us of our sin. We can't buy that. We can't buy salvation. So,
and all those possessions,
the urgency,
and the posturing, it's all as filthy rags before the Lord.
Yes.
He sees through it.
Yes. Yes. That's the urgency he's talking about. That's the neediness. He says, poor and needy. Lord, have mercy. Can we get
Dr.
that?
Dr. Susie.
Can we... Yes.
Yeah. And the thing is, we can't buy it because it ain't for sale.
Well,
amen.
Okay. There's no red light special, no blue light special, no green light special. This ain't Kmart. It's not for sale. It is a gift, and it is an unearned gift. So we can't buy it. And like you were saying, it's a posture. We become children that are loved automatically. When my son was born, he didn't do anything to earn my love. He was my son.
Hmm.
Hmm. So now I have
Amen.
A responsibility to take care of him. He's my son. Amen.
Amen. And so,
Amen.
Like Margaret was saying, she was talking about how a confession. We have to confess. So and so we have acknowledged and understand the urgency, right? That we need Lord you to fix it now, because today may not, tomorrow may not be promised. We may drop dead in 10 minutes from now. So we want you to make haste. We want you not to tarry. You are the only help and the deliverer that we can have. So we need you now, Lord. Ooh, I love Smoky Norfolk. I need you now. I need you now. So
Amen.
As Margaret was saying about soul, right, what is she trying to talk about? What's the confession about? Why do we need to confess? Why do we need to confess? Does everybody have the book?
This is Margaret. I think he's saying that we need to confess not God knows what we've done wrong. He knows everything, but we need to know it. We need to speak it out and ask the Lord to forgive us in our prayers. We need to know what our sin is. We need to confess it, and that way we can claim the forgiveness through Christ's blood, but we need to admit to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a way to turn away and repent from it as well.
Absolutely.
But this is how we can find peace and salvation through the precious blood, Spurgeon says.
Amen.
Amen. Did anybody read about the analogy that he gave? Jerry, did you read that analogy about the wrestler?
No, I don't remember that one.
So when he talked about the wrestler, he says, the stripped of all but the most minimal clothing before he enters the contest. And confession does the same for the man who is about to plead with God. The racer on the plains of prayer cannot hope to win unless by confession, repentance, and faith he lays aside every weight of sin. Come on, Hebrews 12:1.
Amen.
Every weight of sin. And so what blew me away as I was listening to this and praying about this, confession is necessary, as Margaret was saying. If you're going to seek Christ, you can't, what was it? You remember when we talked about being able to go before the Lord? The Lord cannot be amidst sin. Sin is like a skunk.
Amen.
Trying to be around a skunk. And how do you get rid of a smell? You have to pour tomato juice over it, right? So the only thing that can deliver us, right, from the funk of sin is the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And so when we understand that, then in order to be able to be delivered, we have to then confess to let it go. But and like Margaret was saying, is God already knows that. We have to know it. We have to let it go just like the wrestler does. We have to peel those sins off. We have to pull them out of ourselves so that we can be free to sit before the Lord, open and available and vulnerable before him. There you find the faith of God's elect. And you can't get there unless you're willing to make a full confession of your sins and your transgressions and lay bare your heart before the God that we serve. Go ahead, Jerry.
Doctors.
Bishop, go ahead.
That was Bishop. You know, whenever we are putting in for a job, we send our resume and we tell them how great we are, and it would be a big mistake if you don't hire me because I'm great, I'm wonderful, I'm you know, the best thing since sliced bread to your company, to your school, to your organization. But when we want to be in the family of God, we're not coming in big and bold and bad and with all our degrees and all of our qualifications. We're confessing. We're saying, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. One of the things that confession does, if God already knows the truth about us, but the other thing that confession does, it shows us ourselves, just like Isaiah when he said, woe is me. I am a man that's unclean. I dwell amongst people that are unclean. I have unclean lips and unclean tongues. And it's that point when God says, okay, now you see what you are, how you are. Watch me transform you.
Come on.
A lot of us don't look like what we've been through. Look how far he's taken us from. Not we ourselves, but God Almighty.
And something Margaret said, Bishop, is that we can't get peace. And I like the way Purgeon said it. We don't give charity to people who don't need it. The physician doesn't give medicine to people who are not sick. So if we can't confess before the Lord that we have a need, he said what? He said he opens the eyes of those who confess their blindness, but of others he says, ye say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains blindness. In John 9:41. So he asked of those who are brought to him. What is he asking? He says, what will thou that I should do unto, what do you want that I should do for you? Mark 10:51. Well, in order that their need could be publicly announced, what do you want me to do for you? You need to tell what's going on. You need to open yourself. You need to plead so that you can confess or you can't get the blessing. And see, I don't think we get that we have to confess, you know, that we verbally have to confess. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Well, God knows this in my heart. We need to verbally say it. We need to get it out so that we become cleansed and have peace. So I want to think about that.
Amen.
Is it necessary? Hey, Britt. Is it necessary?
Yeah, how you doing? Yes.
Is it necessary that we confess that and let it go? Or can we just, you know, think it in our head? Okay. I'm thinking this, Lord, so you can read my thoughts. Is that enough? Or is there a reason why God says to confess it? Is there a reason? And I think Bishop just explained why we need to say it so clearly. Isaiah said it clearly so that he could understand. God could then transform him and touch his mouth with the coal and make him a person of unclean, who was unclean, clean. So what do y'all think about that?
Amen.
He says, we need to have peace with God and salvation through the precious blood. And that's why we make our confessions. We got to be frank when we do it. We got to be sincere when we do it. And explicit. So do you think you can read from the Lord? Or do you think just by not saying it that God won't know? Somebody speak up. What do you think?
That's a Susie, this breath. Yeah. One of the things is that we must understand, God has given instructions on the steps that a person must take in order to be saved. He didn't make any shortcuts to it or anything else. He told you what you needed to do. And the confession part, everybody knows that we have all sinned at some point or another in our life. The thing is, when you confess it, he doesn't say that you have to talk about it. Even though I was married, I slept with Sister Jones or whatever. It doesn't mean that. It just means that you tell God, I'm a sinner, I confess, and I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins, and I'm willing to follow you. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to do. We need to be precise, get to the point, understand what we're doing so that we can really be saved. You know, it's one of those things of...
Uh-huh. Go ahead. I was just saying that,
I was gonna say,
you know, you...
Go ahead. All right. I was just going to say it's like when you're dating somebody and you really like the person and you can't see yourself not being connected to that person through marriage. In your mind and in your heart, you've already accepted the fact that I want to marry this person. The asking that person for their hand in marriage is part of the ritual in making both of you become as one. When she says yes, At that moment, she knows she wants you, she wants to live with you, she wants to bear your children, she wants to do everything that she has to do as a woman in order to make life better so that you can have that tight-knit family component. And the one type of love we're all looking for, and that is we're all thinking as one, being as one. That's why God wants us to do certain things in order to accept Him and come back to Him in the Spirit.
So when we talk about prayer, though, I disagree with you a little bit on that, Brett. I agree with most of it, but the part I disagree with is that I think you need to tell everything. Everything you can think about. You and God, I think you need to bear your soul. You need to tell everything you did. You need to talk to God about everything in detail, because the Bible says, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And if this evil you've done, and it's evil unconfessed, and it's evil that's still harbored. But it says that thou might be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. So when he says be explicit, you don't leave room for confusion or doubt. You got to acknowledge the evil of sin and ask God to make you understand it, because it's not something trifling. To redeem the sinner from the effects of sin, Christ had to die on the cross. And unless you are delivered from the sin, then you have to die eternally. Therefore, you don't play with this. You don't play with it. You have to confess it. As though it's some horrible fault. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Dr. Susie?
Yes.
This is Margaret, and I just wanted to say that the power of prayer is so transformative, and it's so deep. It's not only our confession one way. The Lord can reveal to us sin that we are not even aware of through the meditation and focus of prayer. When we communicate with the Lord, He can reveal things to us that we might not even be aware of, and exert the transformative power of prayer upon us. For when we know our sin, then only then can we change our life and be transformed and be saved.
Absolutely.
Dr. Susie,
go ahead. Yes.
This is Bishop Michael, you know, and
yes.
When he says, you know, Spurgeon says he knows your guilt already, but he would have you know it. He would have you know it. Therefore, he tells you to confess it. Go into the details of your sin in your secret acknowledgments before God. So, it, you know, and this puts me in the mind where, you know, Psalms 51, against thee and thee only have I sinned. If we know what was the inspiration for Psalms 51, it's when David committed sin with Bathsheba, and the prophet of
That's God
came to David. And he said, thou art the man. David could have had him slain. He could have had him killed. He could have, but he repented. And he said, you know, against you and you only have I done this in evil in your sight. He acknowledged his sin. He acknowledged it. We're talking about confession. He confessed it. He didn't go, you know what, I'm the king. He didn't say, it's good to be the king. I can do what I want to do. He's like, look, you know, there's somebody greater than me. And he saw and looked at himself through. Go ahead, Dr. Susie.
But Bishop, I feel like sometimes when I look back in my past, it's like I was shamed and didn't want to admit it before God. I didn't want to bring up the stuff, so I didn't want God to think about it. You know, like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Think about this, though. When you have a best friend, someone that you love and adore, like Margaret's a very good friend of mine, so when we talk, I talk to her about details. We talk about details. And the more we talk about details of our lives, the closer we become. So when you're talking details to the Lord, that's drawing you in a closer relationship, because you know ain't nothing that's hidden, and God knows it all. And so you can seek him. You can have that urgency. Mm-hmm. You don't have the separation, because you go to him vulnerable with your whole heart. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to. And Spurgeon says this. I'm going to read this. It said, do not play with sin. Do not confess it as though it was some venial fault that would not have been noticed unless God had been too severe, but labor to see sin as God sees it, as an offense against all that is good, as a rebellion against all that is kind. See it to be treason, to be ingratitude, to be a low and base thing. Do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to the King of Heaven. And we're bringing before him something vile, sin. So it's important to confess it and let it go so that we can be free to come before the Lord in a special way, in intimacy, in relationship, loving.
Yeah.
You see that? You see that?
Yeah.
And the scary thing is, he says, never expect that the King of Heaven will pardon a traitor if he will not confess and forsake his treason. Wow.
Amen.
Would you have God ignore your faults and wink at your transgressions? God will have mercy, but God must be holy. God is ready to forgive, but not to tolerate sin. Therefore, God cannot let us forgiven if we hug our sins or presume to say, I have not sinned. But say, I am poor and needy. Yes, I'm simple. I'm lost. I've fallen short. Have pity on me, Lord. Please, Lord, with acknowledgement, with passion, with prayer, with urgency, with the understanding of who we are. My friend Sylvia goes in her closet to pray. She's got a closet time, a prayer time, where she's on her knees before the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
In order to have success in pleading, we've got to look at that posture we're in. We've got to admit that we're powerless in front of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord, and we cannot save a single soul. We can't. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit of God is treasured in Christ, and we've got to seek the Spirit of the great head of the church. We can't command the Spirit, but yet we
Amen.
Can't do anything without him. It says, he bloweth where he chooses in John 3:8.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to feel and acknowledge this before God will bless us. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts in Zechariah 4:6.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
So so let's stop for a minute. Let's talk about what we've been saying. So, Jerry, how is this coming across to you? What are you hearing?
Say that again.
How is it coming across to you? What are you feeling in your spirit?
That you need to reach out to God and show that you really mean what you're thinking and that God knows what you're thinking, but you need to say it by word, and he will help you with that and forgive you for your sins.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So how is it hitting you, sis? How is it hitting you, Margaret?
Well, for some reason, it's making me think of many strong Christians and many people, when you point out something to them, they want to rebuke it, and they attack that which is rooted within their own souls, the sin that's rooted within their own soul, and they would condemn and judge others and rant and rail about it. Their posturing that people have is they protect and hide that sin. It's and we need to fight against that. We need to do better than that. We need to confront our sin and recognize it. That's the first step, to try to tear it out from our, because sin is usually practiced, or it's an attitude or of the heart or of the mind, which is not what God approves of, and is not what its sin is defined in the Bible, the Ten Commandments, those basic things that we shouldn't do.
So, Lori or Sylvia, is there anything, I'm not asking you to read anything, but is there anything that jumps out at you that you feel is that you learned from this that jumped out, that's really messing with your spirit? Is there anything that's pulling at you, tugging at you regarding what we just discussed? Brett, is there anything that jumped out at you related, that's really kind of just picking at you?
Yeah. I can't say it's just one thing. It's about everything that's been said about the importance of what we have to do in the confession part. Because if you want to be a Christian, if you want eternal life, you have to start going through the process. The one thing that bothers me is on the confession part, if me and God are having a conversation, I'm going to confess everything I can remember, but I'm not going to do it when I come down, walk down the aisle at church and stand up front and
tell them I want to be baptized.
Right. That's right.
That's your one-on-one time with the Lord when you do that. Yes, absolutely. But the whole idea is that you bear it to the Lord. And you can do that in your closet, you know, at your house, by yourself. But God is saying you need to do it. You need to get it out so that you're not harboring any sin that can stand between you. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And I agree.
Absolutely.
I agree with that. And the more that we get into our meditation and into praying, you will find that you'll be able to pray longer. Things will start happening for you where God will show you favor. And you may not think about it, but at the time, you know, you never know. You never know when God's going to start showing you favor. You know, some people could be as simple as going to Walmart or something and needing a handicap space. And when you get there, somebody's pulling out and you're right there where you can pull in. That
Amen.
Didn't have to happen.
Amen.
That could be a favor that God gave you.
Amen.
So,
Amen. So
be prepared. It comes in different ways. Go ahead.
Is that Shirley? No, that's Margaret. Go ahead, Margaret.
Oh, this is Margaret. I wanted to say that sin that's there that you're confessing, no doubt it can bring trouble upon you, trouble upon
Amen.
Your life. And then you come to the place where you plead, yes, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I need the precious blood of Jesus. I need you, Lord. Please come and help
me. So let me ask y'all this question, Margaret, and all of y'all who's sitting on the line. This is a really serious question. So when you sin, what kind of posture does that put you in? I'm talking about a believer. When you sin, I'm not talking about somebody now who's looking for salvation and so they're asking for forgiveness of sin. I'm talking about those of us who believe every day, who have a relationship with God. When you sin, what does that do with your relationship with Jesus Christ?
It puts up a barrier.
Pulls you apart from them, I believe.
Yeah.
Whenever I feel like I've sinned.
It separates you.
Right.
It separates you. It separates you. That's why
Amen.
It said mercies are new every morning.
Amen.
So we go back to our
Amen.
Lord to be redeemed
Amen.
And renewed every morning because we fall short. And that's what he says. We have to come with urgency. He ain't talking about just if you want to be saved. He's talking about if you come to me in prayer, period. Because it's sin in your life. It's sin that's keeping us apart. And you got to confess it to move it out the way. And this is what he said about Gideon. And I'm going to say this about Gideon. And this is so good. I can't say this. I'm just going to read it because I can't say it good enough. Mm-hmm. Y'all remember the story about Gideon, right?
Mm-hmm.
The story was in Judges 6, 36 through 40, if you want to read it later on. And he taught Gideon a lesson. And I wanted to read this lesson because it was powerful. And God uses this for God's purposes. So remember, Gideon laid the fleece on the barn floor, right? And in the morning, all around was dry, and the fleece alone was wet. God alone had saturated the fleece so that he could wring it out. And its moisture, the moisture of the fleece, was not due to it being placed in some favorable situation, right? Because everything else around it was dry. So what he wanted us to learn is that if the dew of God's grace fills in us with its heavenly moisture, it's not because we lie on the barn floor of some ministry that God usually blesses or because we're in some church that the Lord graciously visits. Rather, the visitations of God's Spirit are fruit of the Lord's grace and mercy. Gift of his infinite love,
Amen.
Not of our will or any man. It's what Amen. God has chosen to do.
Yeah.
Y'all, it
Amen.
Said the next night the fleece was dry and all around it was wet. Hallelujah. Ooh, and some skeptic might say, yeah, but a fleece would naturally attract moisture. And if there were any in the air, it would have been absorbed by the wool. But on this occasion, the dew is not where it might be expected to be. Even though it lies thickly all around, damp is the stone and dry is the fleece. So it was just the opposite. So there would be no excuse. His grace. He doesn't give us his grace because of some natural adaptation in us to receive it. Whew. Even when he's given us a preparedness of heart to receive, God alone has us understand that his grace and his spirit are free in action and sovereign in operation. God will do what God chooses to do. He's not bound to work under anybody's rule. If the fleece is wet, he makes it wet. And not because it's a fleece, but because he chooses to. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Woo! We are God's workmen. God works in us. And
Amen.
Grace is not commanded by our position or our condition. Because what does the word say? The wind blows where it chooses. The Lord works and no man can hinder it. Right? But if he works not, the mightiest and the most zealous will labor in vain. Woo! Hallelujah. This is just deep to me, y'all. This is so deep. And it's so rich that it makes me feel over, like I'm full. Yeah, that's a good way to explain it. So go ahead, Margaret. Go ahead.
Well, I was just really enchanted with the method of pleading. He really, really beat that into his text there about when you pray, never spare the pleading. Use the pleading to in part argue with God or plead your case with God, and especially plead the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And
but
he says,
know,
that unlocks
Margaret,
the treasury of heaven.
Yes. That's why it was so important when he fed the 5,000. That he wanted them to understand, look how limited a supply we begin with. That's why it was so important that he wanted them to understand that this crowd is being fed, not because the basket is full of what the man had done, but he wanted us to feel that, and he wants us to feel today, that our barley loaves are very little and our fish is very small, because he wants us to see
how great he is.
God that's doing it. Yes.
Amen.
And that we are dependent on the Lord. That we must get down on our knees and understand whose he is and whose we are.
And
in him.
Dr. Susie, this is Margaret again. We need miracles when things are so bad, when we have a job to do. Or when we face, as Spurgeon also mentions, Elijah confronting the 450 prophets of Baal or priests of Baal, who were no doubt terrible looking WWFers, cutting themselves and trying to appeal to Baal. He needed a miracle, and he was confident. He knew he was that close to God. We need miracles, too.
Yeah.
And the Lord is able. He was in times long ago, and he's still able to perform miracles. And we can ask for help when it seems like everything is closing in.
And, Margaret, do you remember you were saying last week that was Yom Kippur? Well, this is the feast of the, I think it's the harvest is coming now, the Sukkot, and there's a new Jewish feast that's getting ready to take place. But it said, preceding the ancient Jews' keeping of the yearly Passover, he said, observe what they did. Please listen. The unleavened bread was to be brought in. And the paschal lamb was to be eaten. But there was to be no unleavened bread and no paschal lamb until they had purged out the old leaven. If you have any old strength and self-confidence, hallelujah, If you have anything that's your own and is there for 11, it's got to be swept right out. There must be a bare cupboard before they can come into the heavenly provision upon which the spiritual Passover can be kept. You've got to come to the Lord bare, without your own strength, without your own, and know that it is God. When he cleans us out, we can bless his name. He can help us see our soul poverty and how important it is that we go to him in prayer with urgency and haste. First Kings says, 18:33-35, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. Why do you think he did that? Why do you think he did that?
So that no trickery or use of elements that can burn and start fire. And because there were a lot of magicians and deceivers, like these priests of Baal, they made a show of it. And
yes,
they would probably try to light the fire using human physical means and not divine, not a miracle.
So when God's fire dropped down and it licked up the wood, it burnt it with all the water there, when all the people saw that, Lord have mercy. Not only did it burn the sacrifice, it burnt the wood. It burnt stones and the dust. It licked up the water in the trenches, and the people fell on their faces. Jehovah is the God. Jehovah is the God.
Amen.
Jehovah, hallelujah, is God. And he wants us to understand that he wants to bless us, not just once, twice, three times. He says he may discourage us, to grieve us, to try us, to bring us low, until all will see that it's not of the preacher, it's not the church, it's not the man, but it's God, the Alpha and the Omega, who frees us, who gives us opportunity.
Amen.
Gives us fire. Let him be God, the God that answereth by fire.
Who worketh all things.
It's
the God that we serve with urgency and in haste, with an attitude of submission and humility.
Amen.
Thank you.
Praise God.
You, Jesus.
That's what we're talking about when we talk about a soul pleading. When we talk about a soul pleading. Whew. And it says second. After the soul has unburdened itself of all the weight of the merit and self-sufficiency. Ooh, Lord Jesus. Then it goes to prayer. And we get the pleading that says, I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. For you are my help and my deliverer.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, make no tarrying. Don't be long, God. Come quick.
Come quick. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
He wants us to wrestle. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So,
bless your name, Lord. Be glorified.
Amen.
We worship
you. So it's by faith. It's by faith that we wrestle. He says to ask. And as we are wrestling and pleading, Lord God,
thank you, Dr. Susie. This to I believe in previous chapters that Dr. Spurgeon mentioned that prayer should not be looked at as some easy thing. That, when you have the connotation of wrestling, and we're wrestling by faith, we're pleading. You know, when you plead for something, it's like, you know, that dismisses all pride. You can't plead with pride, huh? You're really, you know, that's really, you know, we're talking about humbling ourselves. When you pleading and begging, that's more of, look, I'm taking all my pride, everything that, all of my accolades, all of my degrees, all everything that I'm proud of, I cannot bring that before God. I can't be that person that, you know, like the publican and the Pharisee. The Pharisee was saying, I'm glad I'm not like this publican. And what did the publican do? He said, Lord, have mercy on me,
amen,
a sinner. Have mercy on me. That's a prayer in itself. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
When we're sitting over here with our pride, when we're wrestling with a whole bunch of stuff, but when we go before God, we wrestle in faith. We know, what did he say? God, he said, look, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me.
Yes.
So that we humble ourselves, we plead. When we're pleading, we're like, oh, so you know what? I'm going to let this go. I'm going to let all my dignity go. I'm going to let all this go. And I'm going for what we used to say in the day, I'm going for broke. I'm going before the Lord. I'm pleading my case. I'm letting all of my pride go, all of that, and I'm coming as humble as I know how because I got to beg for this one. Amen. I'm pleading. I'm asking. I'm begging. That's humility at its best.
And
amen.
The other thing that's important to understand is when we plead our case before the Lord, just like Jacob and was saying, he used God's promise. What God had promised him, he brought it before him. So when we plead to the Lord, we use God's promises and we place them before him. Lord, you said that if I seek you, you said,
yes,
if I ask and seek, that Lord, you'd open the door. You said, Lord, that wherever my feet are,
right,
if I just don't go to the left or the right, that, Lord, you would give me where I stand and where I walk, because you promised me to be with me wherever I go, because the Lord my God is with me. So I need to be strong and courageous because you're there. You promised me you would fight my battle if I just stand still. You promised me, God, if I would seek you first, the kingdom of God, then you would supply all these things unto me. You said, Lord, according to your word. And when you take God's word before God, when we plead God's precepts, when we plead God's promises, whatever else, it serves our case. And just like when Jacob took it before the Lord, when Esau was after him, Esau was ticked off because he stole his birthright. And he said to the Lord, Lord, you told me to go here. You told me to return to that country and to that kindred. Lord, you know I'm in a difficult way here. but I came because you told me to. I was obedient. You told me to do this. Then since you commanded me, Lord, you know Esau is after me. So you have to protect me in the midst of this danger. And God said, I will surely do thee good.
Yes.
God protected him because he brought the promise before him and reminded him. Do you remember when God
Amen.
Was angry with the children of Israel and Moses went before him and he said, Lord, you don't want to destroy your people because
come
everybody
on.
Will know, Lord, you know, they hear and they followed you here and the name, your name, oh God, how that's going to look among the people. Don't destroy your people, Lord. He pleaded for the people, and God heard. Changed God's mind. So when we use these things to plead, God is just to be like a father who would grant that to his child, who would not deny his own child. And I think that that's so special. Whew. I am spent. And this to me has been so powerful. And it's because it's touching my spirit. I don't know if it ain't doing nothing for y'all, but it's doing something for me. And I hear the Lord saying how we need to do differently in our prayer life. We need to see sin differently. We need to be more humble and understand that God loves us.
Amen.
Yes, God does. But God will not tolerate things as we think. We will be held accountable for those things. So we have to change.
Amen.
How we see sin and see it like God sees it so that we can plead.
Amen.
And when we plead, we can plead not being wondering, does God hear me? I done removed all the sin because I done confessed it all. But I know he hears me. I know he's listening to my cry. I know because I did everything and I emptied myself. And I'm coming with a bare cupboard. For a full, an empty pitcher before a full fountain, the old folks used to say.
Yeah.
And he will hear my cry, and he'll answer that. So with that, we're going to close. Bishop, I'm going to ask you to close it out. Brett, if you could give us a closing after Bishop gives us an invitation.
Okay. You guys have been listening to a powerful lesson, and the way that you can get to know Christ, to get God in your life, is through what we've been talking about, and that's prayer. So I want you to pray with me. Dear Lord, I come before you, and I confess that my sin is ever before me. I need a Savior, and Jesus, you are that Savior that I need. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Change me. Purge me. Cleanse me. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. According to the Bible, that makes me saved. That makes me born again. Lord, bless me. Lord, keep me. Lord, give me the victory in every area of my life. If you prayed that prayer with me and with us, my friend, you are born again. Welcome to the family of God. Now we're going to give you more instruction.
Amen.
But God bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that powerful prayer. And I thank our host, Dr. Susie, for the message that we received today. And we want to thank each and every one of you that is online. And we invite you to come back every week, every Tuesday, from 7 until about 8:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the call-in number is 646-478-4932. Once you dial, listen for the prompts, and you will be connected to the Bible study. And we also want to let you know that Dr. Susie is the host. And until next time, hopefully this time next week, be safe, be blessed, and go with the protection and grace of God. Good night.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.